Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta features 426 guest rooms, 16,000 square feet of meeting and event space, several dining options, including art bar, a gastro pub serving locally inspired fare and cocktails, along with an indoor-outdoor swimming pool and patio, 11 landscaped acres of walking trails, and a convenient location to all the attractions located north of Atlanta. Visit www.sonesta.com/Gwinnett Place to learn more about what we have to offer for your next getaway, meeting, or event. Tired of being frustrated and stressed with administrative tasks in your business? Proactive Payroll rocks payroll and provides relief. We handle your payroll needs simply and efficiently, allowing you more time to work on growing your business. We handle tax reporting and payments, direct deposits, benefit and worker comp reporting, and more. Locally owned and operated with over 30 years of payroll experience. We don't just process payrolls, we build relationships. Visit proactivepayroll.rocks or call 404-410-0031. Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios in Atlanta, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio, spotlighting business leaders in our area. Gwinnett Business Radio is brought to you by Faratech. Faratech, great people, remarkable service.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Gwinnett Business Radio, live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studio in the beautiful Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta Hotel. I'm Mike Salmon, alongside the wonderful Stephen Julian. How you doing, Stephen?
Better than I deserve, Mike. How are you, sir?
Better than I deserve,
oh,
too.
Oh, fantastic.
Great to be here, and I can't wait to get this show on the road.
We always have great shows.
Yes.
You and I were very excited about this show. We got a couple of great personalities, great businesses. And possibly voices better than ours.
Yeah, but that's not too hard. But
that's not too hard.
Neil Weaver is here. He's with the School of Rock. They just opened up in Buford. Can't wait to talk to him about that. And also Keith Ivey with Keith Ivey and Associates.
I think he might be the owner of that company.
Yeah,
it's just a guess.
What a coincidence that the company he works for has his own name.
Wow, he found a company called Keith Ivey and Associates. Said, I got to buy that company.
Exactly. So we'll hear his story as well. And but our first guest is Neil Weaver. He's the owner and president of a company called Dreamweaver Music, but School of Rock is the business that you just opened up in Buford, Neil. And first of all, welcome to the program.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
This is really cool. School of Rock. Everyone's familiar with the movie, but you actually have a performance-based music instruction program now going on in Buford. Tell us all about the School of Rock and what you guys do.
We teach kids from 3 to 83. How to rock their world. Basically, we teach guitar, bass, drums, keyboards, vocals. We take the students, we put them together into performance groups, so they play as a band. We take them out in public. People ask me all the time, well, do you put the shows on at the school? No, I don't even have room to put the shows on at the school. We are looking to play places like the Sugar Bowl and Sugar Hill and places like 37 Main and Tannery Row and possibly Infinite Energy Center. I don't know. But but anyway, we take the students out in public. They play on a stage, in a band, in front of people. And they have a ton of fun with it. And playing on stage like that is the ultimate teacher. It's just like they say, when you put a kid on a team, whether it be a basketball team or a football team or a soccer team, the ultimate learning for that kid is when they get to play in games. And so the same thing applies to School of Rock. The ultimate learning is when they are on stage in front of people playing.
And so that's what makes School of Rock different from other places or where it's one-on-one instructions.
Correct. It's we have a one-on-one instruction aspect to it, every week the kids get a 45-minute lesson, and then depending on the age of the kid, they either get a 90-minute rehearsal with their peers, or they get a 3-hour rehearsal with their peers. And so, to be quite honest, yes, we want kids practicing at home, we want kids working on it at home, but even if they're not working on it at home, they've still got 4 hours with us. You can't help but get better at music really, really quickly when you've got that much instruction per week.
How often when someone joins School of Rock and they join their group, How long do they stick with that group generally? Do they switch groups a lot, or does once a group is formed, as long as they keep taking lessons and keep learning, they stick together?
That's where School of Rock is unique compared to some of the other instruction programs that are out there. There are some other instruction programs that put kids together in groups. However, what School of Rock does is the group can be as large as 20 to 25 members. And you may say, well, you're going to put that many on stage. Well, not all at once. We rotate it. So, you know, a student may be playing, let's say the student is a guitar player. Okay. So the student may be playing guitar on two or three songs with a certain set of bassists and drummers and vocalists, and then another set of songs with a couple of others. So we rotate them in and out so that they can, how can I best explain this? So that they can play with different ability levels, play with different kids.
And that also probably helps when you're doing the performances that are part of the instruction, is because that person who's taking guitar for, I don't know, 6 months or a year doesn't have to learn 10 songs. They're really good at these two or three, and then somebody else is stepping in.
Correct.
Okay, I like that.
And you've got different ability levels too. So, you know, even though Billy may not be the best guitar player, you want to give him a few songs that he can shine as a guitar player. Maybe he's really good at the Stones or something like that, whereas maybe, you know, Susie is the next Eddie Van Halen. So you get a chance to let Susie shine, who's really, really good, but you also get a chance to let Billy shine, who's pretty good, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know. So
and I've heard that the best way to learn, and it sounds like this is the way the School of Rock does it, is by playing songs. Not go, okay, here's the G, and play the G all day, and then play the D all day.
Correct.
But to actually play a couple songs that you really enjoy.
That's correct. We believe in song first and performance first, and then music theory later. Now, they're going to learn music theory, and if they stay with School of Rock for a while, they're going to be really good at music theory. But we don't bring them in and just, we don't go, here's middle C, and this is a G chord. No, we sit them down. Honestly, a lot of times the first thing we teach them is we teach them, hey, have you ever heard of the White Stripes? Well, here's how to play Seven Nation Army. And it's a fairly easy song. And a lot of times they come out of their trial lesson at least knowing the guitar lick to Seven Nation Army right from the get-go.
When one of these children from age 3 to 83, which I love, decides to come and be a part of you guys, do they have to pick just one instrument? Is part of it that over time they could move into other instruments? And the second part of my question, which is completely unrelated, is how long from when they first come in for that first trial lesson till their first performance usually, given they haven't really played much of anything when they come in?
Well, it depends.
That's a hard question.
All right, I'm going to the second question first.
Yep.
It depends on their age.
Okay.
However, I would say let's take a high school student on up.
Great.
A high school student on up, I believe that we can get them from zero to on stage in 4 months or less.
Wow.
So now, again, that doesn't mean they're going to be Eddie Van Halen at the end of 4 months, but it does mean that they can get up there and they can do Jumpin' Jack Flash, and they can do, you know, a Wild Thing, you know, on stage and do it well and do it like they're supposed to do it.
Great.
You know,
so. Okay, so back to the first question. Someone comes in and they start taking lessons. Is it that they want to stick with one instrument, or can they move to other instruments after they kind of master or get to a certain level?
They can absolutely. I mean, my credo, my mission. Thank you very much. I was stumbling on that one. So my mission at School of Rock Buford is make moms happy and make kids happy musicians. Okay,
that's awesome.
So they're not going to be now if they want to change instruments, mom might not be happy. But if mom wants what, you know, junior wants, then sure, we'll let them switch. But, you know, kind of the same rules apply. They have to, you know, if they're switching instruments, we've got to develop competencies in that instrument.
Mike, not only is that a great mission statement, make moms happy, make children happy musicians, that's a it's not only a great mission statement. I mean, that's like a tagline. That's on all marketing materials.
It's a tagline for life.
Keep it simple. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you kind of a strange question. Steven and I, we actually coach our sons in baseball and have for years. In fact, that's how we met several years ago. And we see those parents that they put so much pressure on their kids because they're going to make their kids are their investment for their future. They're going to be that million-dollar ball player. Do you get that in the music school there where, parents are sending their kid there and they're going to be the next Eddie Van Halen and my kid's going to be the greatest thing ever, and they kind of put that pressure on?
Yeah, you see it, but it's kind of – I would say it's a little more rare thing in music than it is in sports. Just from my personal experience, because I've coached basketball and football myself. You know, my boys both played, and I think just my personal experience, I think you see it more in sports than you do in music. That doesn't mean that it doesn't happen, but it's just a little more rare.
I'll insert a sociological comment. I think music is more pursued for the artistic and the well-roundedness, and you don't hear as many stories of how rich people get through music. It certainly is there, but it's almost more rare than it would be in sports. And sports is also scholarships. Colleges don't give a ton of music scholarships. I know they do, but
right. It's
not a pursuit of this is going to pay for college. So
I could actually bring something up, though. Let's say a parent is very really thinks that their child is very talented and really wants them to pursue music. And let's assume that the kid wants that as well. School of Rock has a partnership with Berklee Music, and that does not mean that I don't want to say we get special treatment, but I would say that
the kids get looked at. Maybe
the kid has a greater chance of being looked at if there was School of Rock than they are elsewhere. I'll be honest, since we're such a very new school and I've got so much going on trying to get new students in, I haven't studied a lot about that Berklee partnership yet, but it does exist. So
we're talking with Neil Weaver. He's the owner of the brand new School of Rock that's located in Buford, over there on Buford Drive. Let me ask you about your background and what attracted you to the School of Rock and opening up your own franchise. So first talk about your background and then why you decided to do this.
So we've got 3 hours for this show, right?
And keep it in 30 seconds or no.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about my business background, and then I'm going to back up and tell you about the music part of it. So when I graduated college, I was a high school English teacher for 7 years. And read a few books, got to a point where I decided, you know what, this is great. I love the kids, I love educating, but I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to do something different with my life. And I ended up getting recruited into the insurance industry. So worked for a couple of different insurance companies for a while, and I ended up owning my own insurance agency. Insurance was very good to me, but I was in it for about 15 years, and I was getting pretty burned out on it. And I started looking at other opportunities and that sort of thing, things to do. And I had been looking for a couple of years. I just hadn't found anything that was right for me. And one of my very good friends, his name is Lee Friedman. Lee at the time was working for he's an advertising exec for a big time TV network, and he was on a call up in Virginia, and he comes back from Virginia, and he says, "Hey, you still looking to get out of insurance?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm looking to get out of insurance. What do you got?" He said, "You need to look into this thing. I ran into a client, and she was raving that her husband had just bought a School of Rock franchise and how awesome it is. You need to check out School of Rock." And so I checked it out, and I ended up buying a franchise. But I'll tell you my music background. When I was in college, I got involved with a band, same guy. Lee Friedman was a guitar player. I became the lead singer and front man for a band called Kickin' Edgar. And we ended up touring all.
Poor Edgar.
Yeah. And it is Edgar Allan Poe, by the way, and it's from the Beatles song, The Walrus. So, we ended up touring all over the Southeast. You name the college town or dive bar in the South, and I've played somewhere, right? And so after we graduated from college, we took a hiatus, but then in the 2000s we got back together, and we've actually been playing longer now than we did then. And actually Kickin' Edgar next year is going to have its 30th anniversary And we're going to do a big show, do it up right next year. But so I've got education background. I have business background because I own the insurance agency. And I've been playing music for over 30 years in a band. And I actually was able to do the School of Rock experience organically. And now what we're doing with what I did organically, what School of Rock does, we're doing it systematically. If that makes sense. So,
Well, I'd encourage people to go to Apple Music and download "Welcome to Loserville."
That's right,
by the Kickin' Edgars.
Yes,
sorry, Kickin' Edgar by the band.
And by the way, and we could talk forever. I mean, I don't even think we got to half the questions we want to ask you. But you know, Neil wins the prize for being the best guest we've ever had right on the mic. As a musician, he understands to be right on the mic, and I mean, he's on it better than we are.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Congratulations, Neil. Most important question, of course, for those that want to find out more, they either themselves or they have children that would like to take some lessons or get involved with the School of Rock. Give us your location and then give us a website.
Yeah, we're located at 4295 Buford Drive. And if you don't know what Buford Drive is, that's Highway 20. And we're located right in the business complex right behind Taco Bell. And I am the only School of Rock owner that has a School of Rock Plaza. So if you look for the School of Rock Plaza sign, that is us in Buford. And then you can find us online at buford.schoolofrock.com. We're also on Facebook, Buford School of Rock.
And I have one other add-on question. I apologize.
Okay.
You talked about a trial. So the very first, there's a chance to just take one lesson and give it a chance.
First lesson is free.
Love it.
Anybody that calls us and mentions Radio X, I'll give them $50 off the first month.
Wow.
And we also have 10% off of our first 3 months.
Love it. So remember, guys, mention Radio X. If you mention Mike Salmon or Stephen Julian, he's going to add $100 to your bill.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Great. Neil, great to meet you, and thank you so much. Congratulations on opening School of Rock in Buford, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you, guys. Very nice to meet you.
All right. And Stephen is, I think, downloading your show.
I'm downloading the album.
His music right now.
But the other thing.
From Kickin' Edgar. Poor Edgar.
But before we get to our next guest, I do want to remind everybody that Gwinnett Business Radio does come to you from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios. And we are thrilled that Subaru of Gwinnett continues to be such a wonderful partner for us. And they are our studio partners. And I want to encourage everybody, rather than doing the typical love is what makes a Subaru, because that is true and it will always be true, I want to encourage everybody to go to SubaruofGwinnett.com and check out their website, because they have kind of redone the website, and you can see that you can visit the showroom, you can schedule some service on your car, you can check out the latest specials. But if you go down to the bottom of the site, you're also going to see that Subaru of Gwinnett has been named 2018 Dealer of the Year.
Nice.
So I love that we get to work with the 2018 Dealer of the Year in Georgia, Subaru of Gwinnett. Go to SubaruofGwinnett.com or check them out on Facebook and all the other social media platforms.
They are the best of the best. All right, our next guest here on Gwinnett Business Radio is Keith Ivey and the company Keith Ivey & Associates. Keith, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you very much. Great to be here.
Well, we had a guy that sounded great and was the best on the microphone. Now we got the guy with the voice that's probably one of the best we've ever had on the
show. Absolutely going to take our jobs because he's got such a smooth voice.
The soon-to-be co-host of Gwinnett Business Radio, Keith Ivey, is with us. No, Keith Ivey & Associates. Tell us what your business does.
Well, our business is totally focused on helping people become aware of the resources that will help them grow and protect their business. In general, we can help any business owner protect and grow their business, but we are also focused very specifically on the medical industry, helping doctors. And one of the things we also do for entrepreneurs is teach them how to take networking events and turn them into ATM machines, how to make money, how to get paid as a result of going to networking events.
When you mention helping people become aware of the resources that can help them, I think sometimes when people hear that, the first thing they think is, oh, Keith's going to sell me a bunch of stuff that he has. But you're speaking of the resources like a networking event and how to best use that resource, right? So you're trying, it's more of an education of what's around them and what they can use to help them.
That's part of it. But one of the things that I do a great deal of is, like, today I met Neil. I do not know Neil. I didn't know about School of Rock, but I do now. And so now I will be looking for people who have an interest in music, in addition to me, that would benefit from knowing him and being a part of his school. So making people aware of Neil and School of Rock, plus all of the other, Radio X, making people aware of the resources that they are, that they have access to.
Do you, when you're working with, so let's take entrepreneurs as an example, because I think we have a lot of business owners that listen, and a lot of entrepreneurs that listen to our show. So when they engage with you, is it a, are they paying for a class? Are they paying for a particular service? Or how do you present the resources to help the entrepreneurs?
One way is if they, for instance, enroll in my networking workshop, which is called Connect Like a Pro. And you can find that at connectlikeapro.com. That is a monthly workshop in which it's 3 hours long, and in 3 hours I teach people everything they need to know and everything they need to be able to do to go out and go to a networking event the next day and do very, very well. So, yeah, they pay for that.
So I think a lot of entrepreneurs, when you mention networking, we all kind of, maybe there's a little slight shudder, you know, because we might not have had the best experiences in networking. So one of the things Connect Like a Pro can do is, like you said, help turn networking into what it's supposed to be, which is helping them build their business. Is it just the 1 3-hour workshop will kind of give them what they need, or is there afterward they can keep coming back and learn new stuff? Or
yeah, the funny thing about networking, and this may be true with music as well, you can get good at it, but you never master it.
Yeah,
there's always something to learn. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I say to my students, when you come to a networking class, Connect Like a Pro, and you do that one time and you pay for it one time, you are now an alumni of the class, and you can come back to all of the other classes every month for the rest of your life at no additional charge. You may want to buy me a beer afterwards sometime, but basically, yeah, you get access to the training, because frankly, I change the class as I, because I build my entire business on networking. So when I learn more through observation and, okay, I've learned how to do this that's better than what I was doing it last month, that's in my next class.
So let me just ask you, without giving away the farm and giving away the, all the secrets, what are some of the things people will learn if they come to the Connect Like a Pro?
Well, the first, I'll tell you what they are in order, and these are not necessarily the things that are most important to the average person, because the average person wants to learn, what do I say and what do I do at a networking event? And I teach that. But that's really the third or fourth thing we talk about. The very first thing I talk about is, what business are you in? What business are you really in? And I find that most of my students, they walk out of the room with a different perspective on the business they're in than they had when they walked in. So what business are you in? Second question, why do you go to networking events? What are your expectations? Why do you go? Why do you really go? Because the first answer I get is always not, or generally, it is not the answer that I give back to them. The third question is, how are you going to decide which networking events to go to? In Atlanta, which is typical of most metropolitan areas, you can go to networking events, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You can eat somewhere every meal Monday through Friday. So how do you decide which ones to go to? And once you've decided that, then how do you prepare to go to that event? Most people, when they go to a networking event, their preparation was they took a shower, they got dressed, they put business cards in their pocket, they drove to the event. That's important, but that's not all the preparation you need. And then the next thing is, once you're there, what are you going to say and do to be successful? And then the last thing is, now that you've done this, what are you going to do to follow up? You've got to have a follow-up strategy that you implement day in and day out. Because if you're not willing to do that, all of the other things were a colossal waste of time. Unless you just want to go to a networking event to hang out with friends. And sometimes that's what I do. I go to some networking events, simply because I know that people I didn't see for a month are going to be there. We're going to have some beer. We're going to eat some chicken wings, and life is good.
Yeah, I'm there for the drink tickets.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, that's great stuff. Because
you always give me your drink tickets at the end of the night.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, sorry.
I'm just making a joke. I usually do give them.
Because you sell them and you make money.
That's how I make money on the networking events, exactly. But that's a whole different story.
Now, if you're giving away drink tickets, I will go to your networking events for the tickets.
There you go.
I'm easy.
There you go. Who do you find are the kinds of companies that you work with? And if you have any success stories, we'd love to hear them.
Well, one of the companies that I have worked with very exclusively is he's a mobile masseuse out in L.A. And he came to me through a couple of other people and said, I don't know how to do certain things. I'm very good at doing massage. I'm good at recruiting. I'm good at training my masseuse, but I don't know how to do business.
Did you make that word up?
I just think
okay.
I did.
Yes. I think I did.
That's masseuse-i. More than one masseuse.
Yeah.
And so I worked with him to basically teach him how to do business, how to be a business person. I connected him with consultants who are very pro in marketing, sales, and HR. Those were three areas that he had real concerns with. So I was able to connect him with those three consultants. But then he figured out that my son works for a company in LA. He said that company would be a great resource for me. They could be a great client for me. So now I'm connecting him through my son to the person who makes decisions about those types of HR, employee benefits. And so that's what I'm able to do with clients. I basically start with where they are and what are the next three or four things that need to happen. I don't do long-term strategy. I'm not interested in where your company's going in the next 10 years. I'm interested in where you want to go in the next 90 days.
All right. Now, Keith, I'm going to shift gears slightly because Keith and I met, guess where?
I'm going to go way out on a limb and say probably at a networking event.
You are
absolutely
listening to this
right.
interview. So Keith and I connected at a networking event, and part of and Keith approached me, and we had a great conversation. And one of the things I basically said you had to share is you kind of how you got into doing Keith Ivey and Associates, because you're not 29 years old.
You've noticed that,
yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
I'm at the age where people call me sir. And worry about my health.
Right.
Are you okay?
So, are you okay, sir?
Okay, yeah. Are you okay? Okay, sir, yeah. No, I had no, this was not an intentional, my life has never been intentional. It was the first 15 years. After that, it was up for grabs. No, I was in California as a producer of theatrical shows for corporations. My market was very definable. I did not have to network. I could get a list of all my prospects. I knew that my prospects were these 50 people in America, and I knew how to approach them. I knew what to do, and I was very successful at selling to these people. 9/11 comes along and totally destroys the industry I was in, which was the trade show industry. So that industry is gone. So I went from multiple millions of dollars in revenue to about $100,000 in 30 days. And so here I am in my 50s going, what do you do now? Because I've never been a great employee. I've always been a very good employer. And so I got an offer to go to work on cruise ships, because at this point I had fulfilled my great dream was done. When I was at the University of Georgia, I wanted to own a production company. I owned a production company. I did that, been there. Know how to do that. So now what am I going to do for the rest of my life? I go to work for a cruise ship, which is sort of like joining the circus, except there's no trapeze. And so I'm on cruise ships for 2 years. I was going to stay there forever. Things happened. I come off ships. And I've been at sea for 2 years, and the world has radically changed. I mean, I didn't watch television for 2 years. Imagine the peace and tranquility of that. So I come off of ships, and now I say, well, Keith, what are you going to do to make money? Because you've always thought that maybe you would die before the money ran out. Evidently, you're not. So what are you going to do now? So I said, well, I'm going to start a company. So I started a company, and I had a product to sell, and I thought it was really great. And a friend of mine said, well, how are you going to market that? I said, What do you mean market it? I mean, people just buy stuff, don't they? He said, no, you're really stupid, aren't you? You got to go to a networking event. He said, what? Oh, what's a networking event? Because I've never done that before. He said, well, you go on Meetup, you go on Eventbrite, and you go to things, and you tell people what you got, and they buy it. Said, sounds easy to me. So I did that, and I went to networking events three or four times a day and gained weight.
I was going to say, you ate a lot, but trying to get a lot of business.
On the verge of becoming an alcoholic. But I made no money. And I'm saying, you know, this is not the way to go. Another guy who was doing the very same thing I was doing for another company, I said, what do you do to make money? He says, well, I make $100,000 a year. How do you do this? He says, I make 50 cold calls every morning. And it occurred to me I didn't want to make $100,000 that much. You know, that wasn't a big deal to me. So right. I said, okay, I've got to go do something else. So I'm going to learn how to go to networking events and make money. Because if I can't, I've got to go start making cold calls. So I had a great deal of motivation. So I stopped worrying about making money, and I started studying networking events. How do they work? How's it structured? And that's when I discovered there were five or six things that I had to get really good at in order to make money. And I started working on those qualities, those skills, and I started making money. Now, I didn't get rich, but I wasn't rich to begin with. So I was making money, and things were happening. I was getting appointments, and I was feeling like, okay, this is valuable. This is valid. And my business coach at the time said, you've got to teach people how to do this. So, well, I don't want to teach it. I just want to do it. He said, no, there are people who need to know this because they're in the same boat you were in. And so that's where my Connect Like a Pro workshop came by. It was not something I said, I think I'll just go start a workshop to get rich on it, because I don't get rich teaching this. I do get a great deal of pleasure from teaching.
That's a great story. And so you could take that person who they see the networking events and it's like a necessary evil and turn that whole mindset around that's now an opportunity to really grow
Absolutely.
The business.
What I think I teach kids is that when you get a business card from somebody, that business card represents a bunch of things. It may represent revenue. It may represent an appointment, but it represents a person who owns a company, who has a family. This is a guy who's got a daughter that he wants to be able to pay for her wedding. It's a guy who's got to buy his kid a car. Pay for music lessons. That's right. So this card represents people. And you need to learn to be effective with those people, because if you don't, they may not be able to take advantage of what you've got to offer. And that is a disservice to that person.
Yeah. Well, Keith, great stuff, great stories. I know we could ask you more questions, but we are out of time. For those that would like to find out more about Keith Ivey and Associates, what would you recommend they do?
They can go to Connect Like a Pro, which is where the workshop is all about, and my other contact information is there. So if they start there, that is a very, very easy way to find me.
Great. Keith, thank you very much.
My pleasure. This was tons of fun.
Keith Ivey and Associates, and a great show, Stephen. If we learned a lot about how to network properly, and if you want to learn music, you know where to go now.
And we always say this, but this might be one of the strongest times where we can say this. Man, I can't wait for part two of today's show.
Yes.
When both Neil and Keith come back.
We could go for another half hour
the
easy.
3-hour conversation that each of them needs to, yet again, I wish we could find people who are passionate about what
they
do.
Yes, exactly.
One of these days.
I want to thank Neil Weaver from School of Rock in Beaufort for joining us. Also, Keith Ivey with Keith Ivey and Associates. And I guess the question of the day as we ponder this as we leave the show is, what is the plural for masseuse? Is it like masseuse?
All I could think of,
moose?
There's an old cartoon where the cat would say, I hate Mises to pieces, and I was thinking of masseuses, masseuses and whatever rhymes with that, which I won't say. I don't know. I'll get in trouble.
All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for listening. A reminder, you can listen to this show anytime you want. You can listen to it over and over and over again if you'd like to.
Oh, absolutely.
Or any of our other shows 24/7 by going to businessradiox.com, select the Gwinnett Studio, not the one in Tucson, not the one in Alpharetta, not the one in Phoenix, but the one in Gwinnett. And you'll see the show Gwinnett Business Radio, and you'll see the archives with all our shows. So it's there. I want to thank Trey for his great job behind the scenes producing the show. And for Stephen?
Masseuse. That's what I'm going with.
We'll go with it. I'm Mike, and we'll see you next time here on Gwinnett Business Radio.
To be the man, you got to beat the man. Woo!